Hello, this is Dr. Ed Hill, the host of This Week in the Word, where we grow in our knowledge of the Word of God and our walk with Christ. I'm glad you've chosen to listen to This Week in the Word at dredhill.podbean.com. And I'll tell you where we're going to go. We're in a series entitled Revelation, God Rules. And we've come to episode 13 entitled The Representative of the Antichrist. This is the episode for Sunday, April 9th, 2023. This just happens to be Easter Sunday this year. You know, world religions have been meeting together a lot in the last few years, having summits about putting aside differences and just getting their act together so that it can just be one world religion. Wouldn't that be great? Remember, we are the world? According to the Bible, that would not be so great. Now, I've got a question for you. This is a good one. Are you ready? What do quantum dot tattoos and Chrislam have to do with each other? Now, possibly you're saying, Pastor Ed, I don't even know what a quantum dot tattoo is. And what is Chrislam? All right, real quick, not going into great detail here. Quantum dot tattoos are a mark that can be put on a person, or I guess on anything, but it's proposed to put these on people, and it contains, you know, your entire medical history, your financial information, everything about you that could possibly be important. That's what quantum dot tattoos can do. Now, what is this idea of Chrislam? Well, you remember me mentioning that leaders of world religions have been meeting together to find their common unity and put aside their differences. Some are even proposing right now, and so-called Christian leaders are included among this, some of them, of having a blend of Christianity and Islam where we agree, and that's been dubbed Chrislam. Now, nothing's actually happened with that, I would say, at this point. But anyway, the ideas have been floated. And by now, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you never heard of what I just said, your brain is spinning like, what in the world? Well, so I'll go back to the question, what do quantum dot tattoos and Chrislam have to do with each other? Maybe nothing. Maybe everything. Now, we've been talking in this series in Revelation that there is, in fact, a new world order on the way. That's not a tinfoil hat conspiracy. That is the stated aim of many of the elite leaders, or so-called elite leaders, in the world. People who control the money, control the banks, apparently control politicians. Many of them are politicians themselves, and they meet annually, probably in many ways we don't even know about, but they meet openly in the World Economic Forum. This is not a nut job conspiracy. Just go to the WEF website. Read it for yourself. Listen to what they say, because often in the past, in world history, dictators, this is an amazing thing, but nobody ever gets it until it's too late. Dictators have an amazing track record of telling people what they're going to do when they have total power. And everyone ignores it, laughs it off, explains it away, denies it. And then it happens exactly like they said. Hitler's one, and you could have a long line of dictators who've done the same thing. It's kind of quirky, but it's a very common pattern. Well, the New World Order, the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset people, the people who believe that they are the elites in the world, and it's their responsibility to take charge of this whole thing and get the world straightened out with a global government. Well, any new world order, any global government must have a unifying world religion. There has never been an empire in the history of mankind that did not have some version of a uniform religion. Even if it blended or amalgamated or combined many religions under that empire, ultimately there was some unifying theme that controlled people spiritually. And that will be true, the New World Order, the global government that is feverishly being constructed, probably while I'm making this episode. Now, in a recent article in Scientific American, artificial intelligence pioneer Eleazar Yudkowsky said that he now believes that artificial intelligence will destroy mankind. Well, thanks for helping create it. But now he realizes what a wrong turn that is going to be for mankind. And he thinks that if the governments of the world will not agree together to basically destroy artificial intelligence, listen, he thinks that server farms, now let me define that because it's not a term that most of us ever use. A server farm, just think of a gigantic building, acres upon acres upon acres upon acres of large buildings that have nothing in them but computers storing information. That's a server farm. There are many, many around the world. This is where all of the data that's ever been collected through social media and other ways, this is where it's stored. And of course, in other places like defense intelligence agency type things in the United States and all of that. Anyway, wherever they are, those are server farms. This is what artificial intelligence pioneer Eleazar Yudkowsky said. He thinks that if the governments won't destroy AI, that the server farms should be bombed to end artificial intelligence before artificial intelligence ends us. That is a heavy-duty quote. And it's right out of his article in Scientific American recently. That's an amazing quote. Now, do you know the name Yuval Noah Harari? You don't know that name? Right now, I want you to write it down. I think I'm spelling it right, but it'll come right up if you misspell it even in your online search. Yuval, Y-U-V-A-L, the name Noah, the middle name, N-O-A-H, just like Noah and the Ark. Harari, I believe that's H-A-R-A-R-E. Anyway, you put that combination, Yuval Noah Harari, in your search bar, he'll come right up. He's the techno geek sidekick of Klaus Schwab. Klaus Schwab, Pastor Ed, I thought you were going to do some Bible study today. We're heading there, trust me. Klaus Schwab, you don't know who he is either, probably. He is the self-appointed head. He created the World Economic Forum that meets annually in Switzerland. And during pandemics, they don't meet, but they do meet, but they don't meet. Wink, wink, if you get what I'm saying. They meet all over the world, wherever they have to or need to. But he has a sidekick that's basically the philosophical brain, so to speak. The techno side of Klaus Schwab is Yuval Noah Harari. All right, anyway, I'm going somewhere with this. This is what Harari said. He who controls the data controls the world. Let that sink in. Now, the world, whether anyone wants it to or not, is now well on its way to singularity. Pastor Ed, there you go again. What is this? Singularity. All right, I'm going to give you the version I can understand, all right? Have you heard of the universe of things? You've not heard of that. Oh, man. Anyway, technology and philosophy and governmental policy within the world has all come together to create the universe of things where, let me put it like this, your dishwasher is connected to your bank account. I don't know another way to put it. Let's put it like that. Every single thing in the world is ultimately planned to be connected together in a singularity of existence. And the point of this is, you guessed it, control. Control. Now, it's said to be happening and put in place for other reasons, but the bottom line is, anytime elites and government, etc., do anything like this, the ultimate bottom line goal is control. So, singularity is building an inescapable digital prison in which there is no freedom and required obedience to the new world order and required obedience to the new world religion of the new world order will be central. Well, what if I don't want to worship in this religion? It doesn't matter. You're going to have to anyway. Or die. I mean, that's your other option. Now, on this happy Easter Sunday, I know you're thinking like, man, this is really a downer. On this happy Easter Sunday, 2023, I want you to meet the leader of all of this as far as the religion side goes. He's the second beast that we see arise in Revelation 13. He is the false prophet. In other words, he's leading the world astray. All right. He's the false prophet. He is the satanic counterpart to the Holy Spirit, who, of course, the Holy Spirit glorifies the Son, Jesus Christ, right? You know that. The true Messiah of Israel. That's who the Holy Spirit glorifies, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the true Messiah of Israel. But the false prophet glorifies the Antichrist, like the substitute Christ. That's what the word Antichrist really means. Of course, he's against Christ, yes. But he is a fake, a substitute, false Messiah. The false prophet glorifies the Antichrist, who is the false Messiah of Israel. You got that? Now, if you don't have it yet, just take it by faith and hang on to it. Now, for those who are new to this podcast and you're saying, you just got this out of the Left Behind books. I've never even read the Left Behind series. That may come as a shocker to you. I don't think I've ever read more than a page, if I've ever read that. I've never read that series. Now, some of my kids have read it. I've never read it. I think there was a movie from it. I've never seen the movie. I've never seen a lot of movies. And I didn't get this from somebody. I'm listening to what's happening in the world, and I read my Bible. It's right here. Let's go to Revelation 13. And if you're here the first time today, we have already been reading the entire chapter of Revelation 13, I think for the last three episodes. But now we're going to go to the last half of Revelation 13, and we're just going to focus on that today. Revelation 13, verses 11 through 18. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. All right, let's go back and break it out. Let's interpret it. Now, again, if you're fairly new to this series, you should know that I use a literal hermeneutic. And there we go again. Herman who? All right. Hermeneutics. It ain't Herman nobody. Hermeneutics. What that is it's the science or the study of interpreting something. Not just the Bible. It could be a legal contract. It's understanding what the words are saying in context, and it takes at face value what is said as being what is literally meant, unless the context obviously means for it to be understood symbolically. Okay? So, we do not spiritualize or allegorize or symbolize every single thing in the Bible to mean something it doesn't mean. And in this particular section of the book of the Revelation, God is warning us about a very serious matter that if the reader reads it, he has to be able to understand not necessarily the details, but he has to get the main point in order to be warned and protected. Now, let me ask you something. If you were trying to look out for the safety and security of someone, would you use highly symbolic, allegorical words so that they could hardly even understand what you were warning them about? Let's say that there was a rattlesnake in your living room. Would you not just say, "Listen, Bubba, there's a rattlesnake in the corner of the living room right over there. Don't go in that room without the shotgun." That might be a story we would use in the South. So, that's actually never happened to me, but I'm sure it's happened to somebody. Isn't that how you would warn somebody about great danger? There's literally, you know, that person would not go like, a rattlesnake in the living room. Whatever could that mean? Probably it's symbolic for some transcendental thought by Ralph Waldo Emerson. No, there's a rattlesnake in your living room. Watch out. That's the message, right? That's how clear this is. And we don't know how it's all going to happen, but we get the point. Watch out for the rattlesnake in the living room. Now, you Augustinian theology types and Reformed theology types and all of that, I don't know exactly what you're going to do with this, but it's going to end up being something that isn't a very clear warning. let's just let the Bible say what it says. Let's not be in a straitjacket of any particular theology. What does this say? It's a warning. Here we go. Revelation 13, 11 through 18. We're going to go through this and break each part out. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Now, you know from Revelation, earlier in Revelation 13, we've seen the beast come up out of the sea. That's known as the Antichrist, the first beast. Well, now John sees another beast coming up out of the sea. No, it says earth. Many have interpreted this to refer to the possibility that this false prophet may actually be Jewish himself, because the first beast that arises out of the sea, that's from the chaotic world at large, and the earth could be saying, but as opposed to it being the first beast coming from the world, like a non-Jew, a Gentile, this another beast coming up out of the earth could be referring to him coming from the nation of Israel. It's hard to be dogmatic about that, but they may well be. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. That's what I want you to concentrate on, like a lamb. How harmless are lambs? They're not harmless at all. They're so cute and cuddly. But notice there's something different about this lamb. He had two horns like a lamb. So this is we're going to see here, a religious leader, a spiritual leader of some kind from somewhere. He's like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now, do you see any disconnect there? Yeah, lambs don't speak like dragons. And I mean, if they spoke at all, it would be like a lamb, however a lamb would speak, right? Mild, tender, non-threatening. But this lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now, if we had not seen the word dragon appear yet in the Revelation, we could wonder about that. But if you've been with us a while, you tell me who the dragon is. That's right. It's Satan. It's Lucifer. It's the devil. So this religious leader, he looks like a lamb, but he speaks like Satan. Getting it? Verse 12. And he exerciseth all the power, that word power is the authority of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein. So this is, again, is the idea of the earth dwellers that we have seen so often in the book of the Revelation. They are to be contrasted with the people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are heavenly citizens. And in fact, by this point in the Revelation, the church has been raptured to heaven. But the people left on the earth, unless, except for the few who will not receive the mark, who reject all of this, even if it leads to their martyrdom, the great masses of people will, because they're earth dwellers, they will follow the lead of the false prophet. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to what? What does it say? To worship the first beast. So this Antichrist, this beast, the first beast that we see in Revelation 13, he is going to be pointed to by the second beast. And the reason he's able to point to the first beast and get the world to worship him is for this reason: whose deadly wound was healed. Now, we see that this Antichrist, the first beast, is assassinated. He is dead. D-E-D. I know it's D-E-A-D, but it sounds more definite to say he's dead. D-E-D. But then he lives again. As we gave the example last week, if after the assassination of President Kennedy in 1963, if a few days later he was alive again, the whole world would have fallen at his feet. I mean, that would have been like, who is this? That's what's going to happen with the Antichrist. Now, let me plug in some things so you can understand this to the degree that we're allowed to. How does he do this? Well, this first beast, I do not know the answer. I don't think anyone knows the answer. Or how is it that this resurrection of the first beast occurs after his assassination? Because remember, he is the false Christ. He's the fake Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ, as we celebrate today on Resurrection Celebration Day 2023, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, who literally, actually, really, bodily rose again from the dead on the third day. He's ascended to heaven and he's coming back. The Antichrist, somehow through the power of Satan, who indwells him after that assassination, the Antichrist, who's like the sock puppet for Satan. Satan is the counterpart to God the Father. The Antichrist is the counterpart to Jesus Christ, the Son, and the false prophet is the counterpart to the Holy Spirit, who points to and glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ and that people need to trust in him. Well, all of this is happening now and being faked in an evil way by the Antichrist, by Satan, and by the false prophet. Verse 13, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, I do not know how that's going to happen, what it's going to be, but it will be stupendous, and the whole world will be blown away by this, and they're going to fall and worship the first beast. Verse 14. Now, by the way, let me ask you a question. Could the whole world at one time see all of these things happen? Yes, now they can. I mean, maybe a decade ago or 50 years ago, and obviously 100 years ago, the whole world would not have known of all of this instantly. But we all know that right now, when things happen right now, we can know about them instantly all over the world. This has never been possible in history. This is completely a unique situation. This never existed before. Verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. There's that idea again, the earth dwellers. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, there it is again, the earth dwellers, that they should make an image to the beast, an icon, like a statue to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now, we don't know exactly what this image to the beast is going to be, but it is central to what we're about to read regarding the new world religion that's coming. Verse 15, and here's why I said that. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, what is that trying to say? Well, again, if you're trapped in allegory and symbolism, you're going like, wow, well, that's really deep. I wonder what that means. It means what it said. There's no reason to think it means anything other than what it said about the rattlesnake in the living room. Verse 15, it means that this, whatever this image of the beast is, and I believe when we compare all scripture together, it will be set up in the temple, and the Jewish people and the world at large will be commanded to worship the image of the beast. But somehow, this image of the beast comes alive. That's probably the best way to say it. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Whatever could that mean? It means if you don't worship, if you're an earth dweller and you don't worship the image of the beast, you are going to be slaughtered. And this would start, of course, in Jerusalem, in Israel, beyond that to the entire world. Well, Pastor Ed, how is this going to happen? I don't know that. Nobody on earth knows exactly how this is going to happen. But I tell you what, and I'm not a betting man, and I would not encourage you to do this. And it wouldn't matter anyway in the tribulation, because all the money in the world is going to be useless during that time. But if you were a betting man, you could bet all the money in the world and win the bet that this is going to happen exactly like this says. You know why I could say that? Bible prophecy on other things has an interesting feature. And it goes back to the rattlesnake in the living room idea. It tells us exactly what's going to happen. And it's exactly like it happens later. There are so many examples of this in the Bible. For example, that Jesus would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Guess what? When Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, it wasn't for $29.99 in silver. It was 30 pieces of silver. He didn't get 10 pieces of gold. He didn't get, 8 pelts of raccoons. He got what? 30 pieces of silver. That the Messiah would die and he would be buried with the rich in his death. And guess what? Joseph of Arimathea, who was very rich, offered his tomb where the body of the Lord Jesus Christ was placed. Then, of course, Jesus resurrected and it was given back to Joseph of Arimathea. Isn't that neat? But he was buried with the rich in his death, even though he was a poor man, Jesus, right, on earth. He was not wealthy and rich on the earth, but that's exactly what happened. So when we read here, listen to me, when we read here that there's going to be an image of the beast that's going to come to life, and that the image of the beast will speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. That's exactly what's going to happen. And you've been warned. I've been warned. Verse 16. It gets worse. And he causeth all. Now, how many people are included in all? All. And he causeth all. Just in case we don't get it, it's even clearer. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark, a karagma in Greek, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, again, we go back and say, whatever could this mean? Hey, listen, it means there's a rattlesnake in the corner of your living room. Get it? all the earth dwellers, in fact, everyone will be told, but of course, those who refuse and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, even if it leads to their martyrdom, they don't care. They sell out for Jesus. That are left on the earth after the church is raptured to heaven, there will be many who come to true faith in Jesus Christ after the church is gone. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. It's like an impression, maybe like a tattoo. Some have supposed this could even involve a chip by injection, which some elites have actually talked about as far as giving every person in the world a digital identity, and that could be done, for example, through vaccination programs. Now listen carefully. I did not just say that if you received a certain vaccine recently, that you received the mark of the beast. I didn't say that, but I did say that this idea, how could we get the entire world to have a digital identity on their body? It has been proposed that that could be done is no big deal through vaccination programs. And I'm not making that up. That you can Google that, baby, and you're going to find examples of that from people who have proposed that. Okay? Say, well, I don't believe you. Then the pressure's on you to go to prove me wrong. Go check it out. Anyway, in the future, and we don't know exactly what all this involves, but I can tell you this for certain. Whatever this mark is, it may not be a quantum dot tattoo, all right? I mean, that could just be the forerunner, and then there's something even beyond that that's developed in the next few weeks, months, or years, or whatever. We don't know that. But this we do know, that there will be the attempt made that everybody on the earth has to have this mark, whatever it is, in their right hand. Now, what does that mean? It's pretty clear. There's going to be the requirement of some type of mark, either in the right hand or in their foreheads. I read one commentary many years ago, written, you know, probably 100 years ago, where one interpreter tried to say, well, this talks about that, you know, everyone in the world will have to obey whether they're a laborer, you know, like right hand, like they work with their hands, or in their forehead. So whether they're a laborer or work like a teacher or something, or academics or whatever, everybody's got, that's not what that means. This is warning us that a time is coming in the future. However it happens or unfolds, whatever the methodology or technology or plan is, there will be a mark in the right hand or in the foreheads of the earth dwellers in order to not die, because they are cooperating with the world government. This is what this is warning about. Now, verse 17 puts, this is where we see that where the teeth is put into the requirement to do this, and that no man, now how many people? No man. And that no man, that's no human being on earth, might buy or sell. What could that mean? It means buy or sell. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Of course, that adds up to 666. All right? The number of man. But again, even though we can't explain exactly what this will be and how it will work, we get the main point. The future global government of the world will require absolute obedience down to the point of you can't buy or sell without this mark, without being in the system. And if you're outside the system, you're going to die. Period. That's the warning. Now, for those who know Jesus Christ, they will not be fooled about the false prophet who's a representative of the Antichrist and tries to point everybody to believe in the Antichrist. But those who know Jesus Christ will not be fooled. Those who are only earth dwellers will be completely fooled by the false prophet and the Antichrist, and they will worship the Antichrist. They will be part of the beast system. They will be happy to do so, and they will ultimately be worshiping Lucifer, Satan, the dragon himself. And those who take that mark will be eternally damned, doomed, lost, without hope. That's the warning. We'll see more about that as we go farther in Revelation. Now, if you are not a Christian and you want to become a Christian before it's too late, I want you to call this number, 888-388-2683. 888-388-2683. You will be calling a Christian ministry, and a counselor will speak to you about how to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and to be saved. Maybe you're even a Christian and you need encouragement about your Christian life. Call that number as well, 888-388-2683. All right, so if the Lord doesn't come first, and I don't die first, or Satan, the deep state, or the World Economic Forum don't double tap me, then I'll be back next week with episode 14 in Revelation, God Rules. Like this episode, follow the podcast, and share it with someone else right now. Bye-bye.